Today I have just a few minutes to talk to you about this idea that we read about in our scripture reading in Philippians chapter 1, that those who participate in the sufferings of Christ also participate in the grace that comes with that suffering. And that if you'll do this, if you'll really live all for Jesus, all for Jesus, that death is actually not at all frightening. That's actually an advantage. The worst case situation ends up being the best case situation, and it's an extraordinary thing. So briefly, let me remind you where you are in your life today. Life is hard. You live in a broken world. And Adoniram Judson is excellent this way. He one time wrote this. He said, "We have a general intention of living religion, but we intend to begin tomorrow or next year. The present moment we prefer giving to the world. A little sleep, a little slumber, that leads to poverty." So says the book of Proverbs. Well, a little more sleep and we shall all sleep in the graves. A few days and our work will be done. And when it is once done, it is done to all eternity. A life once spent is irrevocable. It will remain to be contemplated through eternity. If it has been a useless life, it can never be improved. Such it shall stand forever and ever. Quite a thing to imagine. There's this wonderful place in the text we had in Philippians chapter 1. Verse 20 says, "According to my earnest expectation," it's what I expect. It's what I intend. What do you intend with your life? "According to my earnest expectation," Paul says, "and my hope, my confidence about the future, that in nothing I shall be ashamed." I don't plan on shaming the Lord Jesus anytime soon. "That in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, with my characteristic boldness, Christ shall be magnified, amplified, made known in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Remember, we left last Sunday, Paul, in prison in Rome. And remember that in the Roman Empire, prison is not the punishment itself. Prison is just where you stay while your case is determined in court. For Paul, this would be 2 years in Rome, but he is not to be punished by going to prison. His fate is going to be determined in the court system. He knows that you have one of two possibilities. One is release. The other possibility is death. But you're certainly not just going to be left in prison. That is not the Roman way. So he says, "Whether by life or by death, I expect," this is my intention, "I expect that Christ would be magnified in my body." And he says, to die, if it comes to that, to die is gain. If that's the way the court decides, then dying is an advantage. It's a benefit. But he does sense that the Lord is probably going to release him because there's more work for him to do here on earth. What a great idea that Paul has then. While he's in Roman prison, which remember, this is a house arrest. He's in his own rented house, chained to a soldier, and he's not allowed to go out. So while he's there, he talks about the relationship he has with these Philippian believers, and they are like you and me. So he says concerning them in this seventh verse of chapter one, he says, "Both in my bonds while I'm here, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all of you Christian people, you are partakers of my grace." I think that's so interesting, don't you? That he is in prison and he says, "You are partakers of my grace. You're partakers of my bonds," because remember, they sent him a financial gift that helps pay for his rent because he's in a rented house. They sent him a financial gift that helps pay for his groceries. He said, "You and I, we're partners in this. We're partakers here because I'm inconvenienced by living this way. And now I see you've been inconvenienced because you have supported me. So you are with me in the defense of the gospel, in my bonds, in the defense of the gospel. You and I, we're partners. And because we're partners this way," he says, "now you all also are partakers of my grace." What a great idea that if you will decide to be partners with Paul and essentially partners with Christ, partners with the people who have suffered for the gospel in all of these centuries, If you decide to be a partner in this sense, then you're also going to be partners, in another sense, partners of the grace that is given to all of the sufferers for Christ throughout the centuries. And that is such a powerful idea. Adoniram Judson said, you know, you can spend your time now resting, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, so shall your poverty come in a day. You can spend your time here on earth if you want to. A little more recreation, a little more fun, a little more laziness. But pretty soon we're all going to be in the graves if Jesus doesn't come back for us. And whatever our lives have been, there they stand. If you decide to be partakers of the suffering, then you also get to be partakers of the grace. If you choose against the suffering, then you've naturally chosen against the grace because they go hand in hand. And so the choice is yours. And I love this, that he also goes on to say that these people have the ability to be in the same conflict. In verse 30, he says, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now hear that I'm still having, well, you have these things happening in your life. You've decided to stand with me in the defense of the gospel, to let your finances be impacted by my needs. You're standing with me. You have the same conflict. You're in the same war that I'm in. It's interesting, right before he says, unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. This is verse 29. Unto you it has been given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. But if you choose to suffer for his sake, then you also become partakers of the great grace that Paul's experiencing. The grace that makes him say, I'm fine here. According to my earnest expectation, my hope, I'm going to be fine. To die is gain. And I love that. If our lives are all about Christ, then the worst case scenario is no longer a worst case scenario. It just is basically the best case scenario. To die is gain. Over and over in life, when we've been doing something dangerous, the people around us have said, hey, don't you know you could die doing that? I mean, we could all be dead if this happens. This would kill us if this happens. That is assumed, axiomatic, as the worst case scenario. Don't you know you could die doing that? If that's the worst case scenario, then here we have the apostle saying, oh, no, no, that would be gain. To depart and be with Christ is gain. I would be so glad. Somebody might say, don't you know you could die? And Paul would say, oh, yeah, that would be great. That's an improvement. And we never think like that. But if you'll be a partaker of Christ's sufferings, then you're a partaker of his grace. And the worst case scenario becomes the best case scenario after all. What a strange way to live. Imagine going to the hospital and thinking, you know, it'd really be great here is if I died. That would be best case scenario. Now, of course, there's this sense of loss and we don't want you to be suicidal, no death wish, all of that. But you should look forward to this. If you've been suffering for the cause of Christ, you actually look forward to death. And that's what Paul is doing here. There should be a certain thrill about it. I mention every once in a while to you that when I'm on an airplane and at that moment when they're just ready to take off, and especially if Teresa's with me because she'd be the one most effective, if that thing did explode and just poof, we were dead, I always think about that. I think it'd be pretty great. That would be great. Now, we don't want to be paralyzed and we don't want to leave our loved ones and all those things. But as far as just dying, poof, that'd be great. What could be better than that? Someone says, you know, don't you know this could kill us? Say, yes, it could. Wouldn't that be great? Because there's grace for that. There's dying grace. I started with Adoniram Judson. Let me close with Adoniram Judson. He's at the end of his life. And there's a memoir written with his wife contributing. Her name is Emily. And they're having this dialogue right at the end of his life. He says, he's basically on his deathbed. He says, it is my impression that I shall now recover and be better and a more useful man. And Emily responds because he's very, very sick. Emily says, it is the opinion of most in the mission that you will not recover. He says, I know it is. And I suppose they think me an old man and imagine it is nothing for one like me to resign from a life so full of hardship. But no man ever left this world with more inviting prospects, with brighter hopes and warmer feelings. Warmer feelings. And repeated this and he burst into tears. And Emily says, his face was perfectly placid, at peace. Even while the tears broke away from his closed eyelids and rolled one after another down to the pillow. He said, I'm not tired of my work. Neither am I tired of the world. Yet when Christ calls me home, I shall go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from his school. I remember leaving school. That was a wonderful feeling. A few minutes later, Emily said, then death would not take you by surprise if it should come even before you could get on board the ship. The doctor said if you'd go out to sea and get some of that sea air, he might get better. He did board the ship on April 3rd. He died April 12th on board. So she says, then death would not take you by surprise if it should come even before you get on board the ship. He said, oh, no. Death will never take me by surprise. Do not be afraid of that. I feel so strong in Christ. No, no. I am willing to live a few years longer if it should be so ordered. And if otherwise, I am willing and glad to die right now. I leave myself entirely in the hands of God to be disposed of according to his holy will. Isn't that great? According to my earnest expectation, I do not expect to fail here. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, I'm not going to drop the ball now. But that with all boldness, as always, you know there's always been plenty of boldness. All boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ. I'm glad to stay here and work. But to die, that's even better. This is the only way to live as a Christian. To die is gain. If you choose to participate in the Roman prison, whatever Roman prison is to you at this time of your life, in this generation, here in the United States, if you choose to suffer for Jesus in the Roman prison, then you know also you're going to have the grace. You all are partakers of my grace. And you say, but what if it kills me? If it kills you, that's the best case scenario. That would be game.